Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now what a blessed promise that God will respond to the asking, seeking, and knocking of his children. We are reviewing some basic steps in your walk with God. What things enable a believer in Jesus Christ to live in daily awareness of his personal relationship with God? The first step is stay close to the Bible. The vigor of one's spiritual life will be in direct proportion to the place the Word of God has in his life and thoughts. The second step is maintain the practice of prayer. What does the Bible say about prayer in relation to one's walk with God? Well, it says we need to pray. Prayer will keep the heart in tune with God. It will enable effective warfare against Satan. It will make possible the discernment of the Spirit's leading. It will bring power into the work and witness of the Christian. So prayer is our bounden duty and our gracious privilege. Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. Communion with God must be the element in which the Christian lives and moves and has his being. Herbert Lockyer has said prayer is next to atonement in value before God. Now, prayer is no mere formal or mechanical performance, nor a stringing together of pious expressions and eloquent language. It is the heartbeat of a child of God in loving communion with his Heavenly Father. God has given several outlets by which a Christian may witness for Christ. In his life, he witnesses by what he is. With his lips, he witnesses by what he says. In his service, he witnesses by what he does. With his money, he witnesses by what he gives. In his prayers, he witnesses by what he claims in Jesus' name. A.C. Dixon is quoted, "If you depend on money, you get what money can do. If you depend on organization, you get what organization can do. If you depend on education, you get what education can do. But if you depend on prayer, you get what God can do." The greatest thing you can do for God or man is to pray. It is not enough to believe in prayer, talk about prayer, read books on prayer. You must pray. Prayer is essential. For what breath is to life, and what numbers are to math, what heat is to fire, that is what prayer is to the Christian. You take real prayer out of your life and a cold, backslidden spirit will inevitably set in. You can help most by praying most. Now, praying affects men, but prayer affects God. If you seek the reason for little spiritual growth, little fruit, little progress, you might well discover they result from little prayer. You will bless both God and man if you give time to earnest prayer. We must approach this second step of our walk with God with this petition penned by some unknown writer. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. Every Christian needs to pray. Jesus taught that men ought always to pray and never give up. The example of his prayer life so impressed his disciples that they came to him with the request, "Lord, teach us to pray." You need to pray. Prayer is more than a way to beg God into doing something for you. For if you were as sinless and as sufficient as Jesus Christ, you would still need to pray. And Christians need to pray every day. God does not store up grace to last us indefinitely as a homemaker might buy enough groceries at the store to last for a week or for a month. No, the Christian needs communion and fellowship with God every day. Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." The petition suggests two things. First, it is right for a child of God to approach the Father about each day's needs. And second, it is right for a child of God to expect daily answers to prayer. How long has it been since you received a specific answer to prayer? You pray daily, and God will answer daily. Now, Jesus set the example for our prayer life. Consider the kind of prayers he prayed. He prayed prayers of petition, thanksgiving, and intercession. Consider the time he spent in prayer. He prayed early in the morning. He prayed at each crisis period. He prayed before eating. He prayed late into the evening. He even spent all night in prayer. Consider the spirit Jesus manifests in prayer. What calmness of heart, what assurance of faith, what familiarity with the Heavenly Father. If you would learn to pray aright, study the prayer life of Jesus as an example. Now, what are some of the guidelines Jesus gives us to follow? First, approach God directly. Do not go through saints or angels. When you pray, say, Father, and tell Him what is on your heart. Second, speak simply to God. He is not impressed with pious phrases nor high-sounding terms. The model prayer contains only 6 sentences of 66 words. Only 3 words have as many as 3 syllables, 11 have 2 syllables, and 52 words have 1 syllable only. Pray simply. Third, pray about the thing which is of concern to you. The Heavenly Father is interested in your total life, so share with Him every matter on your heart, religious, social, or personal. Pray with the absolute confidence that God the Father always hears you, whatever the burden of your prayer. Follow the example of Jesus and watch your prayer life grow. The Heavenly Father has promised to answer prayer. A poet has written, "I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer." Now, one can know God answers prayer because of the Father's promise to answer. Consider the promise of Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now, what a blessed promise that God will respond to the asking, seeking, and knocking of His children. But there is something more precious in that promise. Read it again and note the pronouns. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you catch the thrust of it? Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 contains the promise of Jesus, the Son of God, that the Heavenly Father will answer prayer for you and each of His beloved children. Now, God has given a rebuke concerning the Christian's prayer life, but it is not a rebuke because one asks for too much. It is not a rebuke because one asks too often. It is a rebuke because one does not ask at all, or because he asks for the purpose of satisfying fleshly lusts. Satan dreads for Christians to pray. He knows and believes, even though some men may doubt, that the prayer of a Christian on earth will move the hand of God in heaven. He dreads for Christians to pray because he knows God answers prayer. Someone has expressed it in these words: "Prayer makes the darkened clouds withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Alfred Tennyson issued this solemn call to prayer: "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Therefore let thy voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain, if, knowing God, they lift not hands of prayer both for themselves and for those who call them friends? For so the whole round earth is every way bound by gold chains about the feet of God." Father, lay upon our hearts the solemn truth that there can be no spiritual vitality without communion with you in prayer. O Father, teach us to pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.